And it was interesting because somebody came up to me after service and said, well, is a peacemaker and a peacekeeper the same thing? Because in my family, I'm speaking for that person, that I was taught to be a peacekeeper. And I said, well, yeah, they can be two different things. Because a peacekeeper, sometimes the idea is to just shove everything under the rug all the time and pretend like no problem ever exists and you don't ever confront anything. And that's not necessarily a peacemaker. Yes, there are times when we do need to make peace with someone, but it doesn't mean you ignore everything. It doesn't mean that you don't confront problems and that everything just gets shoved under the rug and ignored. So a peacemaker and a peacekeeper can be two different things. But God calls us to be a peacemaker, which means there is effort on our part, because sometimes the world, and especially with sin in the world, it's just not an natural thing. Peace isn't just a normal thing that arises. In fact, without God, there's chaos. With God, there's peace and there is order. But without God, there's disorder and there's chaos, which is what the enemy loves to do, cause strife and dissension and unpeaceful situations. But God calls us to be a peacemaker. So we're to make peace wherever we go. And there's three areas this morning that I want to talk about. We'll get into that here in a minute. But before we do, I want to read this passage of scripture. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Did I already tell you that? I was like, man, everybody's just already there. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. It says, for he who would love life, say love life, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Praise God. Father, we thank you that your blessing is upon your word, that your word always produces what it was sent to produce. So we even ask today, Father, have full reign in our heart to do what you need to do, to make the adjustments in our heart according to your word, that we conform to your word, not to the patterns of this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We pray that your word would renew our minds this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you see here, this in this passage of scripture, whoever would love life and see good days. Well, I think for the most part, most of us would say, yes, that's what I want. I want to love life and I want to see good days ahead of me. Well, this passage talks about how does that come to pass? Because a person that wants to love life and see good days, if you drop down to the very last passage, it says, let him seek peace and pursue it. And of course, it says in between there to keep his tongue from evil and to his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. But if you keep peace, you know that you're going to do all of those other things too. Because if you're keeping peace, you're not going to speak evil. You're not going to speak deceit. You're not going to slander. You're not going to speak wickedness. And you're not going to do wicked things. So I'm going to focus on the keeping peace part this morning. And we're going to talk about how do we become a peacekeeping people. Sorry, peacemaking people. See, that got me on the wrong train of thought after someone said that to me this morning. Let him seek peace and pursue it. So we are to seek peace. It's not just as simple as peace just, you know, falling into our lap. You know, many people say, can you pray for me? I need peace. I need peace. I need peace. But see, peace is not something that just comes. Peace comes because we seek it and pursue it. Peace comes because most of the time because you get a revelation of his word, and so you're now attached to his word and you can stand on his word, and that's what gives you the peace. It's not in your if you're relying on an outward peace, like everything's got to line up and everything is situated, and if this and this happens, then I have peace. If I have this and this, then I have peace. If, you know, these things are given to me, then I have peace. That's not true peace. True peace comes from within, no matter what your situation is. No matter what the circumstance is, you can have true peace just like you can have true joy. It is a choice. And it's a choice because you know your Creator, you know His Word, you know His love for you, and so you rest in that word. You rest in his covenant with you. And so if our hearts and our minds are not, if we don't have an inner peace, if our heart is in turmoil, then we are not going to have peace outwardly. And so if we don't strive for peace, if we don't seek it and pursue it, then our life will not look peaceful on the outside. And anything that's happening on the inside will come out eventually. So we need to seek peace and pursue it. And it's interesting because peacemakers, people that are peacemakers are mature. It's a sign of maturity because it takes effort and it takes character and it takes doing things that you don't feel like doing. It takes humbleness. It takes humility. And it takes sometimes you putting down your rights for the sake of something else that's more important, which could be a relationship or someone caring for someone, someone's Christian walk. So it's not caring about yourself. It's in fact, many times the very opposite of self, because peace involves loving someone else, loving them enough that you're willing to do the harder thing. And so it does take Christian maturity. When someone is a peacemaker, then they are going to be a mature person in Christ. And so three areas that we are to seek peace in, and I told the first group this morning, I said we probably are not going to go through all three because we won't have time. So I'll probably hit the last one tonight. But the first, or I'll give you all three, just to whet your appetite, then you'll come tonight, okay? So the first one is peace with God. Peace with God. We must have peace with God. If you're going to have peace in your life, you've got to have peace with your Creator. The second one is peace with yourself. And then the third one is peace with others. And we will go over that tonight. So if you want to know how to get along with people and you want to learn how to do that better, come tonight. But let's go over the first one, peace with God. Peace with God. We must have peace with God. He is the one that created us. He is the one that made you in his image. So if you're not striving after God, you're ultimately not going to have peace because there's going to be a void. There's going to be something missing in your life. The missing component of his Holy Spirit in him guiding you in your life. And if you're not playing by his rules and you're playing by your own rules, you're not going to have peace. Why? Because you're following your own rule book. And if you're following your own rule book and creating your own rules, then ultimately what are you doing? Calling yourself God. You're creating yourself as an idol. Well, I think this. Well, I think that. My opinion is this. And the thing is, God didn't call us for ourselves to be God. He is God, so we follow him. We follow his commands and we follow his laws. When we choose to set ourselves up higher than God and say our thoughts are right, then we're doing the very same thing that the enemy Lucifer did. And that's why he was cast out of heaven, because he was trying to make himself higher. He was exalting himself above God. So if we have that train of mind, which I know that no one in here does, but we can oftentimes put our own ideas ahead of the word of God. And by doing that, that's what we're doing. So we got to be very careful that we're receiving his word as ultimate authority in our life. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what law is passed in the land. God's word never changes. It doesn't shift with the times and traditions. It remains the same at all times. So we have to choose to follow the word of God. If you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 19 through 21. It says, "By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." You know, it's good to have a surety of our hearts before God. It's good to know that we have the confidence in Christ. Verse 20, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." So our heart will condemn us if we are outside of the things of God. our heart, or you could say even your conscience, will begin to work on you. The Holy Spirit also will convict you. And there's a difference between condemnation and conviction, and I'll get into that here in a minute. But understanding that when we aren't following the laws of God, if we're outside of what His Word says, we will begin to feel conviction. We will begin to feel like something's not right. We'll feel guilty. Well, if our hearts condemn us, if our hearts are giving us a red flag, hey, you're guilty, hey, you've gone down the wrong path, or you need to go make this right with this person, you need to do this, you need to clear up this sin, well, that's Him pointing us in the right direction. Conviction is a good thing. Conviction is actually a grace that comes upon us to lead us into righteousness and keep us on the path of blessing in our life. If we did not have conviction, we would be all over the place and not know when we were sinning, other than reading the Word of God. But praise God, we have the Holy Spirit that lives within us and convicts us and leads us and guides us and comforts us. So we know when we're stepping even inches, centimeters in the wrong direction, because He pulls us, He tugs us. He gives us a peace when we are doing right, and there's an unpeaceful feeling when we are not doing right. And so that unpeaceful feeling is to pull us back into line. And so if we are outside of his word and his will for our lives, we're going to feel that. And we must respond to that. So we can't think that we can just live however we want and still have peace. A child of God with the Holy Spirit living in you as the temple of God, He's not going to just let you go do what you want and you not feel anything. He bought you. He paid for you. He redeemed you from hell. So why would He just let you stray and go, okay, well, have a good life. You know, when you get it figured out, come back. No, He's going to put warning signs there. It's just the warning signs aren't typically signs like we see them. We feel them in our spirit. We feel that tug. We feel that conviction. And so He says, when you feel that conviction, when that condemnation or your heart condemns you, He says that God is greater than that. What does that mean? Well, first of all, He knows. Despite what you show on the outside, despite how well you might cover it up, He knows. He knows what's in your heart. He knows when you tell everybody it's fine and then inside you know it's not. He knows. He knows when you said this to someone or you did this, but you've covered it up and nobody really knows. He knows. But He also knows how to get you out of it. So He's greater than our hearts. He knows, but He knows how to bring you back into redemption. He knows how to bring you back into relationship, right relationship. And so that's what He wants to do by His Holy Spirit. But we have to understand that we cannot live in a way that's against the Word of God and still have peace in our life. So many times people are seeking peace, but they're living however they want. I just want peace in my life. Well, you're going to have to get the sin out of your life in order to have peace. Because as long as you've got sin in your life, you will never be peaceful. There will never be a peace in your heart. So we've got to choose to live for Christ, that everything within us lives for Christ. In fact, turn over to Hebrews, just a couple books back. Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we understand here. Paul is that every time I come in here, I just feel so peaceful. I just feel the peace of God. And it just was so peaceful, it put her to sleep. She wasn't getting rest where she was at. So the very thing that was needed for her was rest. And she was getting rest in the presence of God. But she couldn't get that living on the streets and being where she's at, where she had to constantly defend and constantly protect herself and constantly be aware of her surroundings. And so God wants us to have an inner peace. But we got to realize that if we're in constant chaos, you might have to stop and take a step back and say, okay, is this something I've been living with and it's become a norm for me? Because it's been handed down maybe from generation. And I'm not really realizing, like, that's not normal. You know, sometimes we can be in our families and then realize later, that's not normal. But it's good if we do realize it, because now it can begin to lead us on a road to freedom. There are some things in our life that can cause unpeacefulness because we are looking for approval. Are you looking for approval in by people? Acceptance by people. You're wanting people to like you. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be able to make everybody like you. And, you know, even as a pastor, you know, your heart is to want to show the love of God. But I also understand that we may not be everybody's cup of tea. And it's okay. But my heart is, go somewhere to receive the word of God. Go somewhere. Like, don't put your whole life and your destiny with God and throw that away because you don't get along with a certain personality. But I can't like readjust myself. I can take note of certain things and become better at certain things. Yes, I'm not saying, well, this is just who I am and y'all got to accept it. No, I can make adjustments with certain things, but I cannot run around trying to please everybody. There's a difference. And you got to understand that you're not going to be able to please everybody. But you are responsible to be accountable to God. And if God tells you to change something, you change it. But it's for the purpose of Him. It's not for the purpose of trying to get that person to like me so I can feel good about myself. See, sometimes people can, this whole concept with peace with yourself. There are some people that they're not happy with themselves, so they deflect all of that. And they're not happy with anybody else either. But it stems from the fact that they're not happy with themselves. Whether it's because they're not happy with how life dealt them certain things, they're not happy because certain things that were done to them at a young age, certain things that they didn't have control over. And that's why I say certain things that even God leaves things up to the will of people. It's, you know, God doesn't desire for bad things to happen to us, but man has will. And so there are things that are done sometimes that are evil. And those things can hang on a person for many years if they don't deal with it. But when it comes to that point where the Lord begins to show you how to deal with it, then allow Him. Like, allow Him to heal you through that. Don't just keep it and say, well, I can't expose that to anybody. Because if anybody knew, I would be ashamed. What would they think of me? Do you know that's what the enemy does? Don't tell anybody. Because what would people think of you? The enemy loves to keep everything concealed in darkness. But God wants us to be able to be transparent in His light and His love. Because through that we find healing. And I'm not saying you have to go out and yell from the top of the roof all of your issues. That is not what I'm saying. But you find someone that is a confidant, that you trust, that they have godly counsel to walk you through those things. But understand that the Lord wants to heal you. And sometimes those things are a process. Sometimes we think that we are healed of something, and then 20 years later, it's like, boom, something else surfaces. And you're like, I thought I was healed of that. I thought that, you know, God freed me from that. But now there's another level that God wants to take you to, and it's like there's some roots there that you need to deal with. I remember when I was younger, I remember wanting to seek the approval of, you know, every child wants the approval of their father. It's something that's in them. It connects us back to God, because that's what, you know, ultimately we're wanting that approval from God. But when we don't understand that, we look for it from our earthly father. And so if you're not getting that from your earthly father, sometimes you can run around try to find it from other places. And I remember there was a point in time when God had to show me that my approval comes from him, not from other people, that I'm not to run around to search for my approval and acceptance from other people. And that was a huge lesson to learn. It doesn't just happen overnight most of the time, but when you realize that your identity is in him, your acceptance is in him, his love for you, you find yourself in him. When you know who you are in him, then the opinions of others don't matter. And I'm not meaning it in a bad way, like, you can't judge me. I don't mean that. I don't mean like attitude, you know, kind. I'm talking like having a healthy identity in who you are in Christ, that you can still love someone despite the fact that they're being an idiot, despite the fact that they're acting like a jerk towards you, despite the fact that they just yelled at you, and you're like, man, I want to punch them right now, but you know what? With the love of God, I know I can love them back, because I know I don't have to be accepted by them. I just have to show God's love to them. I don't have to be approved by them. And you know, most of the time, they're responding that way because of stuff that's happened to them. They're just deflecting their own anger. They're deflecting the things that are in their past, things they haven't dealt with yet. And when you realize that, it makes it a whole lot easier to love people, because you realize it's not really you. You're not really the target. It's because they haven't dealt with some things yet. So when you realize that, it's easier to love them with the love of God. Flip over to 2 Corinthians 5. I do want to hit this before we wrap up today. 2 Corinthians 5. But ask yourself, what tends to steal your joy? What tends to steal your peace? Because we all have things in our life that we tend to, like, reoccurring, like that pushes a trigger, that causes a reaction, that causes some sort of response that's not very pretty in my life. And it could be one way or the other. Like, it could be reacting out, or it could be withdrawing in. But either way, it's not healthy. Just because you withdraw in doesn't make it healthy. And that's the thing. We'll cover that up and say, well, I'm controlling myself. But you can withdraw in and still be, like, not healthy, because you're withdrawing, because you're isolating. And that's not healthy either, because now you're just in isolation with bad seed that's sitting there stirring up in your spirit. So you got to realize both, either or, like, neither one, either extreme is unhealthy. But what in your life tends to push those buttons that causes you to lose your peace, that causes you to lose your joy? I can, and when I'm under pressure with too many things to do, I can tend to lose my peace. I realize, like, those are moments when I can get a little bit like, and then I start like, I got this and I got that. And I have to, like, slow down sometimes and be like, okay, everything's going to be fine, and God's going to help me get each and every one of these things done. And I have to reevaluate my thinking. I have to reevaluate how I'm looking at things and not allow it to steal my joy and my peace. But if you don't acknowledge it, if you don't recognize that these things tend to push me, then you'll always fall into that trap, because you're not acknowledging or admitting it. So understand where the weak places are, so that you can strengthen yourself in that area. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Who's that talking about? Jesus. Jesus knew no sin, right? He had no sin, but he was made to be sin for us, correct? That we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. So God, through the gift of Jesus Christ, Jesus purchased us. He bought us back with his precious blood. And because of that, we are found righteous in God. And see, this scripture here can bring a lot of people revelation because they might understand that, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'll go to heaven if I live for God. But they might live their whole life unpeaceful because they never understand that they are righteous in God. They think that they're always striving. They always got to strive to be their own righteousness. I've got to do so many things right. I've got to do, and as soon as they mess up, then they're just like, oh, I blew it again. Now I've got to do everything, you know, so many things until I feel good about myself enough to feel like I'm back in the righteousness of God. And righteousness just means approved by God the rightness of God. Like he sees you as righteous. It's accepted by God. And see, ultimately, that's what we all desire. We all desire acceptance. We all desire approval, but it's got to be found in God. And here's the good news. It's found through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not in what you've done. It's not in what you haven't done. It's found in Christ, through faith in Christ. Your righteousness is not in your own works. It's found in Christ. So as long as we believe in the work of Jesus Christ and what it's done for us, then we are the righteousness of God. So now we no longer have to strive to prove ourselves to God, but now we just focus on becoming like Christ. It's not based upon my works. It's based upon Jesus Christ's works. So many times we're trying to, well, I got to follow all these rules. We're so busy about trying to follow the rules. Why not just try to become like Christ? When you become like Christ and that's your focus, to just become like Christ. Instead of, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to, you know, I got to pray for so long and I got to read my Bible for this amount of time. And yes, these are spiritual disciplines. They help us grow in our walk with God. But when it becomes rules and not relationship, then we've got it all messed up. And now it becomes a burden. Now it becomes this obligation that it's just a checklist instead of a relationship that we do because we love him and we want to have relationship with him. So focus on becoming like Christ, not trying to do the things of Christ. Yeah, we do the things of Christ because we are becoming like Christ and our eyes are focused on him. So out of our relationship comes all the things that need to come out of us. But if we just focus on trying to do all the things minus the relationship, it'll be short-lived and we won't be peaceful. In fact, we'll feel disappointment. We'll feel like we've failed. We feel like we never measure up. But when we understand that our righteousness is found through Christ and it's in God, and we're not trying to prove ourselves to God and we're not trying to prove ourselves to man, but we accept his righteousness and we just can thank him for it. Thank you, God, that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ, that you see me as you see Christ. That's what it means to be clothed in Christ. It's like when God sees you, he sees the cloak of Christ over you. He sees you clothed in Christ. He doesn't see you in all of your sins. He sees you clothed in Christ. That's why the Bible talks so much about putting on Christ, putting on things. Like, how many went to their closet this morning and just said, okay, clothes, jump on me? Did you have to pick something out? Did some of you pick out things more than once? Did you change clothes? No? That's good. Sometimes we go through two or three things. We go, I don't like how that looks. I'm going to try this one on. And we try something else on, and we're like, still not getting it. We try this on. And then we get, okay, I like that. Now let's put the shoes on. And we put the shoes on, and we're like, that's not quite cutting it either. So we change to a different pair of shoes. And the thing is, what we're doing is we're trying to put on something that looks good, right? Well, it's the same thing with God. We've got to put on the things of God. We've got to put on the helmet of salvation, which means we choose to think right. We've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We've got to put on love, joy, peace. We've got to put these things on and then say, okay, that looks good. That's going to look good to the world because I'm showing Christ to people. And it also makes me feel good because I'm walking in the things of God. It gives me peace when I know that I'm putting these things on. So, but it never says that these things will just come on you. It says that you must put them on. You must put them on. The last thing I want to close with around this idea of having a healthy relationship with yourself is you've got to be at peace with your past, your present, and your future. Your past, your present, and your future. See, sometimes people can be all tied up on the inside. Christ is already forgiven. Like everything that Christ did on the cross, it's done. God's forgiven you. And the thing is, you have to receive his forgiveness. There's a lot of people that's been forgiven by Christ, but they've not forgiven themselves. And so they walk around with bondage in not having freedom in their life because they've kept themselves bound up. They respond in life like they're still in captivity. But in the eyes of Christ, you're not in captivity. You're free. But you're still going to the end of the chain and stopping because that's where the chain took you to. And now there's no longer a chain in Christ's eyes. But you are still stopping there because you still feel like there's a chain because you haven't forgiven yourself. Once you forgive yourself, you realize there was never a chain there. That was broken. That was broken by Christ. And now you're free. And see, freedom means transparency. Freedom means I don't feel like I'm having to hide anything. Freedom means I can be myself. Freedom means I can worship him and I don't care who's watching. Freedom means that I can love despite the fact that you love me or don't love me. Freedom means that I am comfortable and at peace with God, with myself, and with others. If any of those areas are messed up, then we don't feel peace. So you've got to be at a place where you forgive yourself. God's forgiven you. If you are a child of God and you've asked him for forgiveness, you've said, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Then he forgives you. It was done on the cross. It was nailed to the cross. It no longer stands against you. But you've got to receive it for yourself. And then you've got to walk in freedom. And here's the thing. That's where a lot of people get stuck. They just keep hanging on to condemnation. They allow the enemy to condemn them. See, condemnation blames and accuses. It keeps you in that place, that holding place. It keeps you in prison. It keeps you in captivity, saying, oh, you're never going to be good enough. You did this. I can't believe you did this. You messed up. You don't deserve to be free. But conviction leads you into freedom and tells you what to do to correct it. You see the difference? Condemnation, that's how you can know when the enemy is trying to put condemnation on you, because there's not an answer. It's just blame and accusation. It doesn't tell you to come out. It doesn't tell you that this is the right way. It just says, oh, you're a mess. You'll never be enough. You're never going to amount to anything. This is always going to be on you. You're never going to break free. But conviction says, go this way so you can be free. Don't do that anymore because that's going to hurt you. Go this way so that you can walk in freedom. That's why it says that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because Christ Jesus doesn't condemn us. He doesn't tell us that you're here and you're stuck. He says, no, follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He'll set you free. He'll take you down the path of blessing. He'll take you down the path of freedom. And if we get it in our mind that we're always stuck and we're always going to, and we have no way out, then we'll live in a place of bondage, even though Christ set us free. So we've got to be in a place where we understand that Christ has set us free, forgive ourselves of our past, and then we have to be okay with the present moment. What does that mean? That means we are ever changing. We are ever being transformed into his glory. So you've got to be okay with not being perfect yet and being okay to admit it. Because if you're so prideful that you won't admit to anything, then what you're saying is, at my present moment, I am the best and God is done working with me. Which is a dangerous place to be, because it's what the enemy, pride, you guys get it, right? It's an ugly thing. Okay. But God wants us to understand that he is perfecting us, but we've got to be okay with understanding that he's perfecting us. And we can admit that he's still working with me in that area. I'm still working through some things, but I am working on it. I've not stopped. I've not quit. And I'm further than what I was last year. And I'm getting through, and I'm understanding more than what I understood last year. And God's giving me more revelation, and I'm building glory to glory, strength to strength. But I'm okay with admitting the fact that I'm still working on some things. I don't have to defend it. I don't have to say, I don't have the problem. You got the problem. Because anytime we start getting defensive, we'll accuse other people, even when they're not even accusing us, we'll get defensive. God tells us to continue to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do. He will give you the power to will and to do. So in the present, be okay with admitting that God's working these things in me and through me. Be transparent. Be vulnerable. Be okay with that. As soon as you start defending it all, then there's going to be some pride that rises up. And lastly, your future. Minister, you can go ahead and come to the keyboard. Your future. You've got to trust God with your future. If you don't trust him with your future and with where you're going, and you're trying to hold the reins, and you can't handle it when you lose control over a situation, somebody else has control, and they make decisions, and you don't like it, and now I'm just mad. Like Abraham had to trust God. Abraham trusted God when God said, you're going to move to another land. Go to a land that I will show you. And he had to trust that God was going to take him there and it was going to be a blessing. And it wasn't going to be a place of desertion. It wasn't going to be a place of nothingness. That God was going to take me to a place that was going to be a blessing. He had to trust God to take his son when he said, go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice your one and only son. What? God, you gave me him. This was the promise, child, that you promised me for 25 years. Nevertheless, Abraham trusted. He trusted God with his future, despite the fact that he didn't have the full picture like we have the full picture. So he gets up there, puts the wood on the altar, gets ready to sacrifice his son. The angel stops him, and God says, I know that you love me because you did not even withhold your one and only son. And it said that Abraham had reasoned that God would raise him from the dead because he believed more in the promise than he did in what was happening at the moment. We've got to believe in the promise. We've got to believe in the fact that God loves us, that he has our future in his heart, that he has a hope and a future for us. And it's not to harm us or to destroy us or bring us into destruction, but it's to prosper us. It's to give us a hope and a future. We may not always understand everything, but we've got to be able to trust. If we don't trust and if we don't have faith around that, then we will be unpeaceful. Because we'll try to make it on our own like Jacob did. You know, Jacob had to work to get the blessing, get the birthright. I'm going to make this work for my life. I'm going to work myself up the ladder. I'm going to figure out how to get these things myself. But he wasn't trusting that God was going to give it to him, that God would make a way. You just focus on following my commands. I will make all these things work for your good. Trust him with your future, with your past, your present, and your future. Go ahead and stand to your feet. When we talk about being peacemakers, it does require us to do something. Peace isn't something that just comes easily. It requires a trusting. It requires a faithfulness to his word. It requires sometimes, and we'll talk about people, you know, peace with others tonight, having peace with others. But when it comes to God and ourselves, we have to trust in his word and trust that he loves you. It also means that we have to do things sometimes that aren't always natural to ourselves, to our human nature. And so we may have to step out in some things that don't always feel like what we want it to be. To be a peacemaker. Because to make peace requires you to do something. If I'm going to hold my peace on something, that's going to take some effort, because it means that there's a storm going on, but I have to hold my peace. I have to cling to the word that I profess. Just as Moses stood at the Red Sea, and behind them there's the Egyptian army coming after them with chariots and weapons. It looks like we're going to die. Turn around and there's the sea. Most of them probably didn't know how to swim. We're going to die. That's what it looks like. It looks like death on both sides. But Moses said, hold your peace. Hold your peace. That means despite what it looks like on the outside, you've got to hold your peace. You've got to hold to the anchor. You've got to hold to his word. You've got to hold to the fact of what his word has promised you. Because if you respond in fear, then that means you could respond by running. You could respond in anger. You could respond in dissension. You could respond in strife. You could respond in strife with yourself, uneasiness with yourself. You're not happy with yourself, so you retaliate to others. But in order to love life and see good days, that's what we want.